I'm just so allergic to this popcorn, guys. Shut up. Welcome back to Cartridge Base Radio. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Donald. How you doing?
Not bad. We're back for probably one of our most important episodes ever. But before we get to that important topic, how was your week?
It was fine. I didn't play the game that we're talking about this week at all. Been busy, and then with the hockey playoffs, it's been taking up most of my free time. But I am excited to be talking about this week's game, which we are being sly and not mentioning what it is yet, which is kind of weird for a podcast where, like, when you go to get the episode, it's going to say right up there, like, Shining Force, and then, like, a description of Shining Force, and we're like, what game could it be? I don't know.
Well, I want to talk about my stupid game I played this week besides okay. Shining Force. Some retailer was selling Call of Duty Infinite Warfare for $24 online, and I got target to price match it.
Nice!
So I've been playing the single player campaign for Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, and I love science fiction, and this is full on sci-fi channel levels of just campy sci-fi.
Nice!
And I'm having a blast! There! I got that out of the way. Now we can move on to Shining Force.
All right.
So in case people didn't notice, we are talking about Shining Force this week.
Yes.
The Sega Genesis classic that's been ported to every other system.
Yeah. You could get it on Steam right now if you don't have a Genesis laying around.
I think I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I have 6 copies of this game.
Well, you got me beat by 6.
You don't even have the Steam version?
No. It's like $3, dude. Have I made it $3?
Is this where we introduce our Patreon that doesn't exist? You can get Brad a copy of Shining Force. The Steam version has its problems, like no controller support.
Oh.
You have to use the keyboard. Mm. That's a bummer. I still have my Game Boy Advance version, which we might talk about later because it's my favorite version. It's got a second campaign in it that feeds into the main campaign. But let's discuss Shining Force.
All right. So assuming that some of our listeners might not have been around in the early 90s, Shining Force is Genesis game, came out, I think, 93. It's a cross of tactical strategy. Squad-based tactical strategy, I guess, is what it technically is. Basically, you got little guys that you move around the battlefield and make attack each other. And it's also an RPG, so when you finish a battle, you can go to a town and talk to villagers and have them repeat the same phrase over and over and over. And then go into people's houses and rob them blind, and they just sit there and talk about how the town used to be nicer.
Before people
broke into their house and stole their stuff.
I used to have a radio before this town went to crap. Like, wow, I have a radio just like you used to have in my inventory. That's bizarre. You and I both love Shining Force.
Yes.
So let's just get that out of the way before we start talking about some problems Shining Force has. A problem that I've always considered to be in Shining Force is you have this evil guy. He wants to raise a creature called Dark Dragon because they're really crappy with names in this game. The kingdom's brilliant strategy is to send a group of 14-year-olds to wage this war for them, and you actually have people like wizened people with beards and full plate armor saying, "Don't worry, you'll be fine. Just go off." Like, you can have this t-shirt and a cape. That should be good enough armor. They send children off to fight the war, which, let's not get too political, but they don't even send, like, an advisor. It's just,
yeah,
we found you on a beach. You're unconscious. Obviously, you're the best choice for our leader. Have at 'em.
They justify it as that they want this to be, they don't want to panic the people. So they send a bunch of nobodies so that nobody's like, hey, did our army just leave? So they're like, oh no, it's just like a kid and like some other kids and then like an old dwarf who was drunk in a bar. So probably nothing's going on. For a situation where the fate of the world hinges on it, this seems to be a really low priority for both sides, because it's not like the bad guys are sending their best armies out there either. It's like a couple of bats and some goblins that don't seem to know what they're doing.
And it's really hard to convince bats to fight for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Generally, bats run away.
Yeah. Especially in the middle of the day.
Yeah. Before you change his name, it's like Max, isn't it?
Yes.
No one kept his name as Max. That's like the least fantasy name you can have.
I can't repeat any of the names that I gave my guys on this podcast.
Shining Forest actually may be the genesis of something very weird in my life. I named my guy Darwin for some reason. And ever since then, any JRPG, I just named my guy Darwin. The only game this made sense in was when I played Pokemon, because you're dealing with evolution there, but my aunt, that name, it actually fit in the character box in Shining Force, and it's just stuck for years and years and years. 20-some years? Man. Podcast over, I feel old.
You know, I got into a weird naming thing where, for whatever reason, I would start any game where you can name your character. I started naming them after like retired athletes and not like super famous ones. It wasn't like Michael Jordan. It would be like guys that were kind of good, but not like going to the Hall of Fame. So I'd have like Jim Everett, you know, it's a quarterback of the Rams. And now he's, you know, my commander in Mass Effect. And it doesn't make any sense. Didn't you play for the Rams, like, before space travel was a thing? How are you here?
I didn't make the Hall of Fame, so they gave me a spaceship. You know, runners up and all. So, Max has to fight Dark Soul. Really kind of wonder what they're hinting at with this naming mechanic. Is his soul dark? I don't know. And you go through a bunch of stuff. Like, lots and lots of missions. But the most important thing is Hans, the archer. I don't know how many times Hans, the archer, is the one who just pulled me out of a complete disaster. Because the AI never bothers to go after your archers whatsoever. So if you just tank up front and archer in the back, you can steamroll this game.
Tank up front and archer in the back sounds like the worst haircut. It's like a reverse mullet or something. Oh, you know what they say, tank up front, archer in the back. Like some bizarre saloon where you can do archery contests
against tanks.
I don't even know. Yeah, Hans is pretty effective early on, and the AI does leave a little to be desired. If you fight mages, I guarantee the first person to come in into attack range of that mage is going to get hit with their highest level spell every time. And will continue to do so until that mage is out of magic points. So if you have somebody who kind of isn't that great and you see some wizards, you can just send them over there. They'll do fire 4 on them a bunch of times, and then you just have a bunch of guys with no magic points to smack around.
Now, as someone who loves turn-based strategy games such as XCOM and XCOM 2, going back to Shining Force was a little rough because the AI is just horrifically stupid.
Yeah.
And will walk into the dumbest traps where if you put two guys, two squares out, and then you put your main character, they're always going to bum rush your main character. So they'll go right up to him, and then the next move of those two guys, you can just pinch them in, and you have a flanking situation, and they'll just keep going right towards the guy and stand right in that gap. Over and over and over. this was the Steam version where they were dumb. I think they made them a little bit smarter in the Game Boy Advance version.
Maybe.
That added HD graphics, mm-hmm. air quotes. they prettied it up some because yeah. it looks a little more 32-bit than its 16-bit predecessor. And it added a card system.
Well, when did this game come out?
This would have been 2001?
Yeah, everything had to come with a card system back then.
So the cards would, you could actually build a deck that would change, like, how the fight was going to run. And they also did something that should have been in the original. Your moves were determined by your speed. So the speed in your stats, that's when it would decide you would go. It wasn't all your team, all their team, rinse and repeat. So the battles could get a little more hectic, and you wouldn't have to do that thing where you just barely stand outside of their attack zone and hope they moved in close enough so you could get the first attack in.
Yeah, well, it's an effective tactic. There's one guy in the game who's a steam-powered armadillo tank. And we got to later talk about how awesome some of the characters get in this game. But he's basically your generic tank character. He has very low movement. His attacks are okay. But if you're willing to be patient enough to let him lead your forces, and you have to be really patient because he has like much smaller movement range than the rest of your army. But if you're willing to do that, it's just like, he's like bait to the enemies. They'll all run up to him. They'll all do one damage and just sit there and, you know, keep wailing away. I'm like, why isn't this working? And you can just pick them all off.
Commander said this would work perfectly. And the commander's in the back like, everyone's being shot by arrows while people are dealing with that tank. What is going on here?
They got a steam-powered armadillo. We got to deal with that first.
I mean, if I saw a steam-powered armadillo coming towards me, I would prioritize that as a problem.
Yes, especially a giant one like that. You get some pretty dope characters in Shining Force, if you want. You can have a party of 12, and Max or Darwin or Jim Everett or whatever you want to name them has to be in your party. But then, if you want, by the end of the game, you can have a robot with lasers. You can have a centaur with a bazooka, a dragon. There's a ninja, a werewolf. Domingo is, I think, like a flying octopus who can do magic. You just get like, at some point, you know, they're designing this game. They're like, well, we could have this, but it doesn't really make sense story-wise. But it's super fun, and every single time, whoever was in charge is like, go with the fun one. Who cares if it makes sense? I want that robot.
I respect them for just going completely wacky in this game, because it starts out very, yeah. like, tropey fantasy, and then at some point, it just, when the talking dog shows up, I'm like, I'm here to be your secretary for Shining Force. By the way, your team's name is Shining Force now. And Max, he's like, oh, okay. He's like, there's a centaur over there. You might want to go talk to him. And at no point before that were centaurs introduced.
That's right.
And I was like, oh, what? Because it seemed like just humans and demons and bats.
And mages with pink hair.
Yeah, the mage with pink hair is like, hey, guys, I want to be on the team. And they're like, whatever, mages. And then there's a centaur, and you'd think he'd be like, hey, you're a talking dog, that's weird. And he's like, what, a centaur? That's wild. It's like, the talking dog just told you about the centaur. Through it all, you find out that the king who sent you, which this makes sense later, the king who sent you was under the control of Dark Soul, so, and you're actually the chosen one, which it's really shocking for a Japanese RPG storyline. You being the chosen one who woke up on a beach with amnesia. Never been done before. And you were actually sent to die on that first mission, and then you didn't.
Dark Soul kind of played himself by sending his weakest army to counter you.
Like, Dark Dragon is like, maybe Dark Soul, you should go on this first mission and take care of it. No, no, no. Don't worry. Those guys got it. Trust me. They've been in the army for like 20 minutes. They're going to do fine.
You know, it in a weird way, it sort of makes sense. Like, if you were a member of the evil army and you're trying to move up the ranks, you're trying to get promoted to evil corporal or, you know, whatever. Evil major, and your job is to wipe out this army of kids, like, you're not going to impress anybody that way. It's like, oh yeah, our super highly trained army that was well armed beat these kids. Like, you're not going to get a promotion like that. So if you can, like, convince some weak skeletons and some random animals to do it for you, then it looks a little more impressive. It's like, yeah, they were kids, but I killed them with bats. Who else is going to be able to do that? And it's like, you get a promotion.
So you're saying that the Dark Army is just a bunch of people trying to one-up each other by sending the weakest things possible to kill these kids? And then at some point, they're like, oh no, they're actually very strong now, and they're kicking down our doors. We have made a terrible mistake.
You know, you could probably get an economist in here to talk about how, like, you know, your different individual motivations can sometimes work against the interests of the team as a whole. So everybody's trying to look good and beat these guys with the minimal amount of power that they can, instead of just, like, destroying them with some monsters right off the bat. And it ends up backfiring.
And just see Dark Soul sitting in a chair, and every time they report that Shining Forces beat another army, and then they have to explain, well, this time we sent one mage and an archer, and they lost. And he's like, they have 12 people on their team. Why did you send two people? Because the victory would have been glorious, sir.
They wiped out our giant death laser. We weren't guarding it at all. We had like one skeleton and he got wiped out by the giant death laser.
We thought if one of the death laser support fell down and the laser landed on them and killed them, you'd be super impressed with us, sir. I'm starting to feel bad for Dark Soul here. Because he just had an army of incompetence. He had one job. Resurrect a dragon, which he does succeed in doing, just to have Max and the crew roll in with a tank armadillo and murder the dragon just as it resurrects. And that's cold.
Yeah, I imagine the dragon's probably also pretty disappointed. He's like, hey, I'm back to life. Oh, man, is that a Terminator and a centaur with a bazooka and a werewolf?
As long as they don't have the Sword of Light. Oh, crap, they have the Sword of Light.
Did they bring that one centaur who can cast Fire One? No, they left him at home.
Why don't they send an incompetent army? Why? It'd actually be pretty interesting to play this game from the enemy's point of view if all you ever had was, like, really underleveled people compared to what you're fighting. It could be seriously frustrating to just get rolled over every time.
You just, the game is you lose 30 battles.
And you know that Dark Soul had to go talk to Dark Dragon about this every single time it happened. And as a good commander, you don't throw your troops under the bus. You go punish them later. So he's having to try to explain the incompetence, even though it's directly not his fault that this incompetence happened.
You know, there's actually one battle in the game where you're fighting this witch or whatever, and, like, before the battle, she's like, I don't have time for this. Meet me in Demon Castle if you get through them this army. It's like, lady, just what do you mean you don't have time to kill the hero?
Just hang out for 5 minutes. We're going to plow through these guys, and then we don't have to meet in Dark Castle.
What else do you have going on today that's more important than, like, killing the only people that can stop your evil plan?
Dark Soul's like, okay, witch, you need to go kill these 12 children, and then the threat to Dark Dragon's over. And she gets there, and she's like, I just don't have time for this. I've got to go. if you guys survive, come see me. And then she gets back and he's like, oh, great, you killed him. That's fantastic. She's like, no, no, I didn't have time, so I left.
I left some gargoyles to take care of it. They'll be okay. And some dark elves.
Don't worry, there's a legion of bats with them.
And as you get later in the game, you know, you keep hearing, oh, you just got to kill these 12 children. And then these later battles are like, all right, time to go finally kill those 12 kids. And they get there and it's like, oh, man, this isn't 12 kids anymore. They have, like, some eagles with swords, and, like, the kid looks like Luke Skywalker now. There's a dragon.
Oh, man, their portrait upgraded. We are so screwed. Yet you have a dragon. They're like, this is the one, like, dragon. Dark dragon is, like, supposed to be the only dragon. And then your dog guy's like, yo, I got you a dragon. You're like, cool, thanks.
The other thing that I love about the characters in this game, and shout out to my brother for first noticing this when we were kids, but the text in the game is normal, you know, upper lowercase letters. The names of all the characters are, all of them are in all caps. And if the whole game was done that way, you wouldn't think anything of it. You'd be like, well, you know, maybe the translators, you know, weren't comfortable with English grammar. They didn't want to take a chance capitalizing the wrong thing. Maybe they ran out of memory. They could only have one set of letters. But since they have upper and lower for all the text except the names, it just looks like you're shouting all the time. And it's like, go grab Max and Gimli and meet me down at the beach.
Yes, it's like, hi, Max!
Is Tao there with Domingo? I'm Luke!
I'm a monk! Luke died. Luke is... If you can get Luke to a certain point, Luke rocks. But you gotta get Luke to that certain point. And much like the armadillo tank, it takes some patience. But once you cross over into that, Luke is just amazing. Before that, he's just like your dopey sidekick. It's like, oh, I'm a bumbling monk. Like, how did you even make it on this team? Got to go talk to that dog about his selection process. And the dog, it's a Scotty dog with a monocle. And he's got, like, a darker mustache area, so it looks like he's got this really sweet mustache. And you're like, why don't you come with us, dog? You seem like you're down. He's like, oh, I gotta stay here and, you know, wait for a dragon and a centaur. Literally, walking into Shining Force is like, it could be any joke. A centaur, a dragon, and an armadillo tank walk into a bar.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just going to ask, what is the criteria for joining the Shining Force? I think it's pretty much just, you have to want to join the Shining Force. Like, that's it. If you want to join the Shining Force, you're signed right up.
I'm guessing just in, you know, they have the little headquarters as a door, and right next to the door, there's a window with a help wanted sign. And I walk in, yeah, is there an application I can get to fill out? And the dog's like, oh no, you're in Shining Force. It's like, I don't have any weapons. That's fine.
You know, you just, like, find some guy and he's like, oh, I'm going to join you. And it's like, I don't know you at all, man. You might be working for the other guys. We could get in the middle of the battle and all of a sudden you're going to do, like, a heel turn and, like, rip your shirt off. And there's, like, a dark dragon shirt underneath it and start hitting all of us from behind.
You know, that never comes up, but it's a possibility that someone could just be... working both, like, maybe Dark Soul would want to do something like that, but they're so incompetent they couldn't get it together. Or maybe they had a guy and then he noticed how sweet Shining Force's clubhouse was and he, you know, just quietly hid his Dark Dragon shirt in a corner. He's like, I guess I'm Shining Force now. Like, where do we get that bat?
I mean, a ninja joins you, and the way he joins you is he just, like, leaves a note stapled to a bush. And if you read the note, you get him. And it's just like, I mean, it's not even like a job application. It's just like, eh, I'm on your side now.
You know how hard it is to staple a note to a bush? You want that dude on your team, definitely.
Do they even have staplers in whatever age this takes place in with robots and castles.
If you have a robot, you should be able to craft a staple. So, in the end, you win. Everyone thinks you're great. I mean, you knew how it was going to end. You're going to win. Because back then, they didn't do anything like huge dramatic twists where they kill the main guy. And then you go back to Shining Force and someone has to step up and carry on. Dark Dragon, by the time you get to him, if you've played it correctly, Dark Dragon is a complete pushover in the Genesis version. You just basically steamroll that dude because you bring the most mismatched force and he's like, I have three attacks. Oh, you're immune to all three of those. Like, yeah, boy.
This is my reward for like killing all those bats and then hitting the retreat button right before I killed the last bat so I could level my guys up some more.
Yes, the grind is real in that game. It had to be really just disappointing because he probably berated Dark Soul over and over about not killing you. And then you take out Dark Soul, and then as you're killing the dragon, he's like, oh, maybe I was too harsh on Dark Soul about these 12 children.
You should enjoy it, though, because this game is the only time where beating Dark Soul is easy.
I'm the incompetent one in that game.
Wordplay! One thing that I like about Shining Force is that when your characters reach a certain level, you can upgrade them to a better class. And, you know, for some of them, it means like the little puny, weak looking baby dragon becomes like a scary dragon. And, you know, some of your centaurs become like fully armored knights or something. And I think most importantly, your main character gets pants.
Yeah.
Which is a nice upgrade because prior to that, he's kind of wearing like a skirt, which is a really odd, like somebody, and this is on the cover of the box. If you go online and you look up the box cover for Shining Force, like your hero is just like wearing like a cape and a bandana and like a shirt of some kind and then like a skirt. And I think it's maybe just that his shirt hangs long and he's just not wearing anything on his lower body at all. But it kind of looks like he's wearing like a cocktail dress. And, you know, some character designer came up with that and then somebody had to approve that. And they're just like, oh, yeah, that looks cool. Let's put that on the box.
It's a mass intimidation thing that he's doing. So the enemy steps out on the battlefield and they're like, whoa, he's not wearing any pants. I feel uncomfortable here. And he was walking right up on you, no pants on. And he's like, yo, we're going to fight. Hey, man, just kill me with a sword. I'm not making eye contact. I'm looking down at the dirt. What are you doing?
Hey, that's a 14-year-old kid. I'm going to get arrested if I'm around this.
And finally, the dog's like, dude, you have to put some pants on. Some people around the Shining Force office have come to me, said they're uncomfortable. You just sit on a bar stool. Everything's there, dude. For your upgrade, we bought you pants. And he's like, oh, sweet, I've always wanted pants.
I can't think of anything scarier in the world than like a preteen with no pants and a sword coming up to you and being like, we're going to fight.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I'm just gonna run. No wonder they could only find like bats and feral animals to fight this kid.
Once he puts pants on, Dark Soul's like, okay, I can go fight him now.
This makes the circus level so much more disturbing because then it's like this kid with no pants is fighting a bunch of clowns and puppets. Oh man, my childhood is just destroyed now. There are churches in the game.
Yeah, you can go get your dead people resurrected.
And it's a bargain.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the price is basically your character's level times 10. So if you have a level 10 character, which is, you know, about what you would have halfway through the game. You don't gain crazy levels in this game. But level 10 character costs 100 gold to resurrect. That will represent maybe 1% of the gold that you'll have at that point of the game. Like, this is bringing people back to life from the dead. This is the miracle of life. If you've ever had anyone that you cared about that died, you would do anything to have this power. And it cost 1% of your money.
It was always kind of dark and twisted to me that that process was in place, because they could have just done straight permadeath, like Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
But they chose this resurrection system. Yeah. But if you think about it on the next level, that person died and went to an afterlife of their religious choosing or whatever.
Whatever's canon for the game, I guess.
And they're in, let's say, paradise and everything's perfect. And suddenly, like, you got to go back. Your buddy paid a cleric $100. So you have to go back to the mortal coil and fight Dark Soul again. And he's like, I was like, sorry, no choice. We got the paper, son.
How do you think we pay for all this paradise?
And then Luke comes back. He's like, but I was with God and everything was good. He's like, yeah, shut up. Here's your sword or your staff or whatever you fight with. One thing I still super love about this game is the combat. It cuts to the actual like sword swinging moment. And it's just those beautiful pixel art characters. They're like big and bold and how they slide together and do their little swings. And then it's always weird when you cast a spell, like a healing. The cleric comes on, does the thing, and the little fairy comes out, and then the other person slides in. I didn't quite know how that works in the real world. It's like, does the mage run into a spot, cast a spell, and then you have to run through it? Like you're running through cologne before a date?
I think probably he's sending the little fairy off, and the fairy just flies around the battlefield healing everybody. And that probably is a little confusing the first time it happens. And the fairy's probably like, hey, listen, I'm going to heal you. Hey. The thing that I like in the attacks is certain enemies have the power to cast sleep on you. And the way that it's described in the battle is it's just like, you know, like giant bat attacks. Luke takes 2 damage. And then there's like a pause and all that text goes away. And then it'll say, Luke fell asleep. And it doesn't seem like it's related to the attack. It's just like Luke fought a bat. And then later on, he's like, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep in the middle of the battle.
Max, I swung my club and I'm like really tired. Can I just like lay down on the stones over here? Mike's like, no, we're shining. Oh, Luke's asleep. Wonderful.
There's a couple characters that just, they're kind of lame, and you try them out and they don't really do a lot of damage, or you kind of know, you know, you can check a guide or something, you find out they don't really turn into anything great. So you can put 12 in your party at once. There's like 30 characters in the game. There's a couple that just aren't going to get used. And those ones I just always, like, I project onto them that I imagine that they're, like, super annoying. And then I feel less bad about never using them. Like, yeah, this guy, this Arthur, he probably talks like Pauly Shore all the time. He's probably just like, hey, buddy, let's go into some battle. Yeah, you're staying in the tavern with the dog with the monocle. You're not going into battle.
Gonna get some gold, buddy. You like walking past the dog, you're like, if he happens to die while we're gone, that's not gonna be a bad thing.
we're not paying $100 to get him back.
He's standing in line waiting, and the god's like, what are you doing? Waiting for resurrection. And the god's like, oh boy, you went to the wrong place. You need to go to hell, please. Poor Arthur. He's an early one, isn't he?
He's not one of the ones you get right at the beginning, but he is fairly early. He's the knight who can't fight good, and then if you work really hard with him, he can cast really low level spells that you won't need by that point of the game. He's garbage.
So I always rolled with Max, Darwin, Luke, Hans, the pink hair mage.
Tau.
Yes, and the old Gimli.
Gort. Old Gimli is named Gort, which is just a great name. It sounds vaguely Canadian.
I have a feeling he was the one in the clubhouse no one hung out with, because when he'd start talking, it would just curdle your stomach. He's like, let me tell you a story, youngster. This happened in the swamps of Ithaca. It was just me. I had no pants.
It's just these old war stories, and he spares no grisly detail for these young kids. And then his head was like, my axe was stuck in it, and I couldn't get it off. And when I did, there was brain all over it, and I got stabbed right in the side. So I took my axe with the brains on it, and I hit this guy right in the crotch. And everybody else is just like horrified.
I had to chew his neck in half.
The blade got dull, so it was like I just like smashed his face into mush instead of splitting his head open.
Do you know how many swings it takes to do that, Billy?
No.
32. Then he's confused why no one will have a drink with him. Except he's always got like a pint in a room full of 14-year-olds.
They have a bar. Their headquarters has a bar.
They're just way drunk all the time. It's like, that explains why Max had no pants on. He's like, I'm here to fight you guys. Oh, I forgot my pants again. Oops.
And then when you promote him, not only does he get pants, but he's like in his mid to late 20s all of a sudden. And it's just like, yeah, being on the Shining Force probably ages you quickly.
Yeah, Gort tells you 3 stories and you get 5 years on your life. So he's doing a service to the rest of the team. Like, we've heard of the most grizzled battles there are.
I think my go-to character was always Domingo, because he could fly and do magic. Enemies were always swarming to him. He must have been delicious or something, because the enemies all just made a beeline for him. Which is not a good strategy if he's like a powerful mage that can fly. It just like scorches everything that he comes across.
He just sounds like he'd be fun to hang out with. Someone named Domingo just has to be so rad to hang out with.
Yeah, and it's kind of ambiguous as to what he actually is. Like, he looks like either like a flying octopus or like one of the Pac-Man ghosts that's wearing a hat. And that might explain why he can fly.
He's Domingo. That's just what he is. He is.
That's his class in the game, is Domingo.
Domingo Montoya.
It's abbreviated to 4 letters, but yeah, his, you know, everybody else is like a knight or a mage or whatever, and he's just a Domingo.
So, you haven't played the Game Boy Advance version.
No, it's...
Do you remember Nashara?
The
Princess of Runefrost?
No. Was that cut from the Genesis version?
No, she comes in later in the game. She joins Shining Force. In the Game Boy Advance version, you meet her early on. She's like, oh, you have no pants on. Please leave my room. And he's like... So she goes on her own quest in the Game Boy Advance version. It's like 5 or 6 chapters long.
Oh, wow.
And it keeps like interweaving with the main narrative. So you'd have this secondary thing to play. When she actually comes into the story in the main campaign, that's where her adventure ends. If you choose her fork first, you play out the rest of the game.
That's sort of like a precursor to like some of the Arkham games have DLC characters that, like, there was Catwoman in Arkham City. And it was kind of the same thing where you would play as Catwoman. It would interweave with the main narrative. So that's pretty neat that they were doing that way back, you know, in 01, I guess. Maybe even if they had the idea earlier than that.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if it was just like on a chalkboard at some point and like, we don't have time for this. It doesn't make sense, because that's a lot of work for a remake, but it adds more maps.
Yeah.
Well, it uses the same maps, but new battles. More battles in a strategy game is always welcome.
Usually, yeah.
But yeah, if you ever get a chance, play that version. They also fix some of the translation.
I had heard that the translation kind of screwed some things up.
There's one moment somewhere in Shining Force where one of the characters yells, "No, do not." I remember when I was younger, just sitting there staring at it going, that's not English. No, do not what? Everyone's staring at him like, do not what? What? He's like, no, do not. Do not wear pants.
It's my new character trait. I only speak in half sentences.
This is Douglas. He's joining Shining Force. What's his power? He speaks in half sentences. I am pleased. Please what? I think he's trying to say please to meet us. I'm not sure. That is...
He ends up being the one that betrays the Shining Force. He was trying to tell him all along that it was going to happen.
That's how Shining Force truly ended. Dark Soul walks in and he's like, I own your clubhouse now. And they're like, oh, dang it. It's like, this is a good bar. Gort's like, I can tell you some stories.
Arthur comes over. He's like, hey, buddy, grab me a brewski. And Dark Souls is like, you know what, I'm out of here.
I'm good. I don't want to rule everything anymore. You guys are pretty okay. I would say in Shining Force, because we have to decide whether the hero is actually a hero, I'm going to say that Max and his team, for the most part, are heroes.
They're as heroic as a group of young teenagers without pants parading around the countryside could be. But yeah, I'd say it's pretty clear cut. It's a little ambiguous what the bad guy's motivation is, other than just that they're bad. Like, it doesn't seem like they're going to benefit necessarily from the resurrection of Dark Dragon. They're just kind of doing it because it's like, well, we're evil, and there's not a ton of evil things to do. So it's pretty much like raise Dark Dragon or just hang out on the corner.
We could hang out in the corner and yell things at people who walk by and hurt their feelings, or raise a dragon to kill all mankind.
Would that include us? Yeah.
I mean, we're evil, so we're down for that. Whatever. They send a spy in to find out these plans. He's like, buddies, what you doing?
I love that we keep coming back to this, but we actually, the only thing that we know about impersonating Pauly Shore is that he says, buddy. Like, that's it. That's the extent of our impersonations, and we're going to keep doing them for the rest of this episode, and maybe next episode, and maybe for as long as we do this podcast. Oh, so if you were making a Shining Force sequel, you know, or another game in the series or whatever, what would you keep and what would you do differently?
Are we talking like Genesis era, or are we talking full on modern?
I guess it would be modern, but I think you probably would want to try to kind of keep the spirit of the thing.
Oh yeah, it makes sure it's nice and colorful, because I love my games colorful.
Yeah.
I think I would drop the main character with amnesia.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't make him a teenager anymore. Maybe start with Shining Force established. Definitely like a custom character thing. Like XCOM lets you tweak your characters.
Yeah.
So if you could, like, I want part centaur, part armadillo tank. That would be pretty rad. I really would just still want a campy story, though.
Yeah.
Some games, it's like, the world's depending on you. You must stop this evil thing. Oh, you're going to go on side missions for 3 hours. That's cool. The world's in danger, but man, you got those flowers. Like, yeah. Gort definitely is coming along. And I think I'd have Christopher Walken voice him.
Oh, I would get the guy that does Rick on Rick and Morty. That would be the best Gort voice.
Who's the... have you watched the show The Ranch on Netflix?
No.
The dad, Sam something.
Oh, is it the guy that always plays cowboys? Sam Elliott? Yeah. Oh, that would be a good Gort. I think that would be my addition to Shining Force if I was going to make a... a new one is probably you'd have to have a cowboy. You know, you're definitely keeping like the fun, not totally serious classes, and you definitely got to add a cowboy in there. Maybe like a shark or something.
A shark on a skateboard.
A street shark.
His name's Rupert for some reason.
Yeah.
And he's a cleric.
A cleric shark.
He follows some sort of ocean god. He says brah a lot.
Instead of a staff, he's got a trident. And instead of a little fairy, it's like a little school of fish flies through the air and circles your guy and heals him quickly.
Obviously, going to make the maps isometric 3D if we're doing this. Oh no, there's really not much you can do to it. It's not like a deep, deep world, so you're not going to have to write an amazing story. You're basically going to write, there's an evil force that's going to kill us all, and you must stop it. I mean, they tried a little bit with you finding out Dark Souls controlling the king. And you're like, dun, dun, dun.
Not the king. He looked kind of like Jesus.
Leave Jesus King alone. I have no pants on. And Dark Souls like, yeah, I know. I'm not looking at you. Guards over there in the corner, you see me not looking at him directly, right?
I did not ask for this. You know, for the sequel, they actually did try to give it a little bit more of a story. And the story is that there's like two jewels. There's the jewel of good and the jewel of light and the jewel of evil. And they're sealing this gate that has the evil power behind it. And like some jerk just like steals them. And I kept thinking, well, don't use jewels to seal away. Use something that nobody wants to steal. Like the bottle cap of light and the bottle cap of evil. And, you know, maybe even put a little sign up that says, hey, don't take these or the world will end. You know, don't put things that people want to steal to store away evil power.
I would put the piranha of good and the piranha of evil.
There you go.
And the only way to get them is that you have to wear a glove made of raw meat and grab them. It's a magic glove that can hold them.
That's an odd stipulation.
Well, you're not going to... You could use a net to get them, and then you got them.
Yeah.
But if there's only one glove that can grab them, but it happens to be made of raw meat, piranhas are going to go after that. So if you want to steal the piranha of good and evil, you got to be serious about this.
Maybe just like the discarded pellet of pure uranium of light. It's just like, I'm not going to steal that. I'll get cancer.
I mean, if you're evil enough, you're just going to send a minion in to do it anyway, so...
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, a Jessica Simpson album? No one's taken that at all.
The Pauly Shore of Darkness and the Pauly Shore of Light. You're just like, nope. You stay there by this gate. And you're not coming along.
You have to merge the Pauly Shores into one, and that will... caused the cataclysm. What did Pauly Shore do to us?
I don't know.
I feel sort of bad, but I don't, because I had to watch Encino Man once.
I had to watch Son-in-Law once, so that's what he did to me.
Is that the one where he gets in a combine and ruins a field?
Probably. It's the one where he is trying to get with a farmer's daughter. So I can't imagine there's too many other situations where Pauly Shore would drive a combine other than that one movie. Unless that was like kind of like his trademark thing, like all of his movies involve him farming at some point.
I'm having this horrible memory that I believe has been repressed for many, many years of watching that at a party because there was someone there who loved Pauly Shore movies.
I had this experience where I was in 11th grade and I was dating this girl that I had nothing in common with. And we didn't have anything to talk about, so we just, like, rented early 90s movies. Like, that was our date. We go up to Blockbuster, we pick out an early 90s movie because it was the early 90s, and then we'd watch it, and they were terrible. We saw so many bad movies, and I think that's how I saw Son-in-Law. It's how I saw Guarding Tess. It's how I saw IQ, which is a movie where Albert Einstein gives out romantic advice that I don't think, like, I think collectively as a society, we've all sort of just agreed to forget that that movie ever... It's not like it wasn't terrible enough that we make fun of it. It's just it's a black hole in our psyche.
This refuses to exist. I don't. Whatever you just said, I couldn't hear. It was impossible.
You know, our listeners are just like, yeah, there was just like 10 seconds of dead air in the middle of the podcast.
Shining Force. It's a great game.
Yes.
Go play it. We give it 4 pants. No, 5 pants out of 5.
I'm going to actually give it an extra pair of pants just in case our protagonist forgets his again. So 6 pants out of 5.
Nice. So, all right. So that was your latest episode of Cartridge Based Radio. Feel free to come on over to Facebook where we're at Cartridge Based Radio. If you choose to email us, we're at cartridgebasedradio@gmail.com.
Quick question for you. Are you checking the email? Because I keep forgetting to.
Yes, I check it. No one has emailed us. SoundCloud keeps emailing us to tell us we're over our limit. But we don't really use that anymore because we have cartridgebasedradio.com where you can listen to and download all the episodes right on the site. But I imagine you're listening to this on iTunes or Google, so you can still come to the site because we see the stats go up and it makes us feel good personally.
Yeah. You can also go on our Facebook page. I will post an update every time that we have a new episode up, and it's open for comments if you want to. You just write on the update post, you can start some comments and let us know what you think of the show.
And if there's a game you really want us to talk about in our patented semi-ignorant way, we will happily talk about your game. If you're like, yo, eSWAT is the hottest game, you might not want to write that because that conversation is not going to go in your way. Because we're both in agreement that eSWAT is... Dumb RoboCop.
That would be a great movie. I would watch a movie called Dumb RoboCop.
Starring other Peter Weller.
Starring Peyton Manning as Dumb RoboCop. He just pegs criminals with footballs. He's a robot at all.
He's got a football in his leg instead of a gun. It just shoots out. It's not inflated. Oh, with that, we are Cartridge Based Radio. I'm Donald.
I'm Brad.
And we will see you next week when we have a very special episode.
Yes, with a special guest.
Very special guest.
Which makes it sound like he's somebody famous and not just like some guy we know.
Everyone's famous in their own way, buddy.
And we just went out to get some food, and it wasn't like we went to a fancy place, you know. We went to some diner, and they're just like, oh, did you just come from the game? And we're like,
of course, we're not weirdos.